Welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we're rejoined by mining analyst Anthony Power. We talk about mining stocks ripping into the green, the dangers of debt and dilution, and an outlook for 2023. Welcome back to the Mining Pod. We have Anthony Power, our mining analyst, on the show again today. Anthony, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
A lot going on. Mining stocks have popped to begin the year, which has made a lot of mining equity holders very happy, as they should be. We see some really big green candles across the board for many miners, to add to Bitcoin price also going up. So that's a great highlight. But of course, we're going to go back through a little bit of December's numbers. There's been a lot of information there. And of course, there's a lot of information on 2022 to go over. But we're solely going to focus today on the mining stock numbers and see how information from last year is transferring into valuations right now, and then what we're expecting for next year. Of course, anything we say on this particular show is not financial advice. We're just going through it from an analytical standpoint based on publicly available information. But I'll hand it off to you, Anthony. Let's just start off talking about mining stock numbers. The first thing I look at is some of these year-to-date performances, which everything is down over a 52-week average, honestly, but over a year-to-date performance from January 1st, we see Greenidge is up 220%, DigiHost up 186%, Bitfarms 160%, and then the bottom lowest gainer is CleanSpark up 29%, and then right behind it is Stronghold at 36%. So a few different valuations there, a few different numbers to look at. I'll hand it over to you. What's your take on the boom in mining equity since the beginning of the year?
Well, when we consider the mining stocks in 2022 dropped upwards of 80% on average, and that's all around the Bitcoin price, to be honest. Bitcoin price peaked, you know, November 2021, reaching the 69,000. And then ever since that date, all the way up until the last week in December, it got down to about $15,500, and the mining stocks are literally just, you know, there's hedge on the Bitcoin price. They dropped, you know, Bitcoin price dropped 65%. They dropped 80%, but Bitcoin price turned in that last week of December. And what we're seeing in January now is we've seen Bitcoin increase right about 35%. Looking at today's price, which is hovering around the 23,000, so good increase for the 3 weeks of January, and we're seeing the mining stocks literally rise on that there, and it's welcomed by the shareholders, you know, these companies, because, you know, they've had a tough 12 months. Nobody, I don't think any of the analysts, you know, 15 months ago when Bitcoin was in its rise, were thinking of any numbers that we reached in the end of 2022. You quite rightly say, you know, we've seen some amazing pull up, but bear in mind the stock prices have dropped down, and I don't know how many investors were prepared to go in December and buy stocks at those real, you know, wholesale prices that they were. I mean, Argo had dropped to literally 36 cents a share, and we're seeing it now, you know, close to $2 a share. So that's had a massive increase, 600 and, you know, nearly 700%. But it's that, you know, would people have been prepared to invest and take the gamble, knowing all the news that was out there, price of Bitcoin not looking like it was going to turn, suddenly a bear cycle, and also all the other factors affecting Argo at the time, regards to finding, you know, further investment to help. And obviously they did have some good news in December, and Galaxy have come in and purchased the Helios site, $65 million, which has given the company some more time to sort of navigate its pathway through this year. So it's now going to be hosting most of its miners at Helios under the new ownership there. And they've still got the two sites in Canada. They're about two and a half exahash of miners. And they've managed to reduce the debt a little bit. So the debt, I think, we go back to August last year, debt was in excess of $100 million at that point in time. They've still got $40 million notes that payable in a few years' time. That's That's still in place there, but they've now got a $35 million loan from Galaxy, which will help them, give them some cash flow to get through this period now. And if the Bitcoin price keeps rising, I think we'll see Argo make further recovery, because it did drop down to literally very close to going into Chapter 11. They were actually highlighting that in a number of their updates that it were close to if something didn't happen. Yeah, so Argo's had a month, but equally, Mara and Riot, the two biggest miners by market capitalization, I've had a good period, and you know, well over 100% increase in the last 3 weeks. Riot actually now is the largest miner by market capitalization. It's hovering around that 1 billion, and Marathon Digital is probably around about the 900 million. So Riot's had a, you know, had a good period. It mined the most Bitcoin in 2022 with you know, over 5,700 Bitcoin mined for the year there. In December, it had a good month mining 659 Bitcoin. It's still selling a bit of that, a good chunk of that Bitcoin it mines monthly. It's not going into the HODL, but it's selling monthly Bitcoin to pay for its operational and capital costs. Its current HODL is just under 7,000, and that's at the end of December valuations. Now, not taking into account the Bitcoin price, that was worth about $115 million in Bitcoin. And they've got about a similar amount in cash, and that 200, or well, you know, quarter of a billion there in liquidated assets is going to help them get their expansion into their new sites at Corsicana. So, you know, good period for them. Madison had, again, it was probably from an Ardent shareholder, probably a disappointing month. They mined 475 Bitcoin. Bear in mind, they've got 7 exahash. A lot of the issues in December, we had a lot of weather issues. So the last week in December for a lot of the miners was literally very little production at all. So Marathon Digital fell into that challenge. They also had to curtail throughout the month because of energy prices. They don't have a fixed PPA, so they're reliant on spot prices. And when the energy price increases during the day, they'll switch off their miners trying to save that cost. Got a large HODL, over 12,000 coins. So, you know, at the end of December, that valuation was over 200 million. And if you think now, that's probably over 250 million in HODL. We are sort of seeing now that it's coming through that they are starting to actually sell elements of their HODL, not large amounts, but we're starting to see that come through now. People have had access to their Marathon Digital wallet and they can see some of the sales coming through. So we'll expect end of January, that will be confirmed that they started to sell, but they've got such a big HODL. And what they did in December was they actually reduced their leverage on some of their Bitcoin by repaying the rolling loan with Silvergate Bank, which was 30 million outstanding loan. So they've repaid that back. They've still got a 50 million loan with Silvergate, and that's leveraged against Bitcoin, but they've managed to get their unrestricted Bitcoin back over sort of 7,000 coins now. So it's a good amount of Bitcoin they've got to use in this current climate where, you know, mining rigs are predominantly low. So interesting from them there. Riot benefited by again selling energy back to the grid. So they sold energy back and received about $4.9 million. And if we put that into Bitcoin term, that's like 290 Bitcoin equivalents. So if you factor that with what they actually mined and looked at, you know, and compare to that with what they would have mined had they had the machines on for the whole period, that's a better return than Bitcoin mining. They would have been the top miner by about 20% if they were able to utilize, you know, that amount of Bitcoin mining rather than turn the machines off. So it's been a good month for them. Hive Blockchain also were able to receive money from that. They actually do some hedging around their energy costs. and they received about 3.15 million in savings there. So that's benefited them. They also had to curtail, obviously, for that during that period. And their production and their operational hash rate was lower than normal, but they had strong performance with what they had available. So it was a good month for Hive Blockchain. Mined 213 Bitcoin. They sold quite a big chunk December and November. We're not sure of what period because they didn't give their November sales updates through. But having sent a few messages through to the management there, they were happy to start reinstating their Bitcoin HODL for December. So we were able to highlight quickly that they'd sold 1,441 Bitcoin over the last 2 months, which is quite a sizable amount. And the reason they sold is not about covering their current costs. It's about having money ready to invest in opportunities. So you can see that Hive are looking to make good use of the current prices and start buying machines. And it looks like they may also be looking to replace some of their older models on their sites. So that's positive news for Hive. They can get the prices now. I'm seeing that, sort of around the 15 terahash for S19s. That's something you confirm well with your site?
Yeah, the terahash rate sounds right there. The one thing I want to interject really quickly and just ask you about while we're going through these updates is the mining stocks. Based on what you're saying, like we've kind of gone through the updates, there's been some really positive gains, right? So Argo is able to basically find its way through its situation. Core Scientific continues to mine through its Chapter 11. We don't know what's going to happen there, but at least they're still online and mining, getting those cash flows. Saw Riot continue to mine. It's opening up more of its Corsicana site. Marathon also with its Applied Blockchain site. I think they changed to Applied Digital now, but they're still continuing online and operating. Seems like December was a great month for a lot of people, and that's maybe why you see things better in January. That being said, some have done better than others, right? And typically we see mining stocks trade within a very tight band of each other, right? They don't change that much more than the others. If one goes up, another goes up. But based on this last month, we've seen that some are just doing crazy numbers. I'm wondering why that is from your perspective. Why are some teams like Greenidge up over 200% since year to date? And then there's other miners who are down or not up as highly.
What we've got to remember as well is that in 2022, the likes of the ones that have done really, really well, so we're looking at the Greenidge, we're looking at Argo, both of these companies, their share price was devastated in 2022. So they had, they had not 80% drops in the share price. They had like 95% drops in their share price and more. You know, Core Scientific, 98% drop in its share price. Now, Core Scientific, because they're currently going through Chapter 11, we're not seeing any real increases in their share price at all in January. In fact, it's probably been very, very static. But Greenidge and Argo had so much potential from getting above their really low prices. I mean, at 30 for a stock that went to IPO at $15 15 months ago and was down to 36 cents in December, and now it's trading around about the $2 a share. That's, it had to really get down to its lows to then bounce. Whereas other mining stocks like Marathon and Riot didn't go down by 90%. They went probably down by about 80%. So there's a significant difference in rebounding from 80%. There is rebounding from 95% down. So, you have to look at it. I still think that investors are starting to get a little bit shrewder now, so they're not just looking at, they want to know more about the mining companies, more about what they're doing from a production stance, more about their cost of mining. Really important. They've got good energy prices, and that they're actually, forecast to start making profits when the Bitcoin price, rises to a certain level to get to that point. But then we're seeing other miners like CleanSpark that hasn't really has delivered great numbers all through the year. So CleanSpark has been one of those sort of top four miners throughout 2022 from a production point of view, and from a growth point of view, number one. They grew from something like under 2 exahash at the start of the year, finished the year at over 6 exahash, fantastic growth, very little debt, but their share price has not reacted with that. And actually, they've got a reasonable low cost of a Bitcoin, not the lowest cost of mining a Bitcoin, but it's a profitable coin. So I'm going to look at, you know, reasons why. And I looked this morning at sort of what happened in 2022 with regards to the amounts of ordinary shares for each of the companies. And actually, CleanSpark had increased their shares by 73%. So they diluted significantly in 2022 through that. And maybe that's an area where you've got institutional investors and some savvy investors, you know, who can be more looking into more of this data to determine whether they feel that, you know, if companies are going to continue to dilute. And believe you me, if you look at debt over the last 12 months, there's really only dilution and selling Bitcoin available as levers at the moment. It's going to be a real challenge for some miners. Maybe the dilution has put some people off, where they're looking at, you know, other miners who've got, like maybe HODLs, who've got the ability to, they've got the HODL there. But equally, they diluted by 30% in the last 12 months. So we are seeing a few of these miners dilute their shares to make their ends meet during the period. So it's interesting. Right share price hasn't increased significantly compared to right in January, but it's still in a better position if you look at the last 13, 14 months, because right now is the largest by income. And, you know, if you go back 12 months ago, it was Mara by, you know, generally by quite a significant amount. So we've seen that turnaround there. Bitfarms have had a great year, consistently every month producing great production numbers. They've got a good low cost on their output as well. They had significant amounts of debt back in May, June of 2022. I think that was touching around $100 million in debt. But since then, they've done everything they can to reduce the debt on the balance sheet. So at the moment, it's down to $47 million. So they've got rid of $50 million of debt on the balance sheet, which has been pretty good. And they've sold Bitcoin to do that. They've got $20 million at the moment with BlockFi through one of their subsidiary companies. So we discussed in a previous podcast about Iris Energy, how they created an SPV for their mining rigs. Well, Bitfarms equally did something structured in a way that one of their subsidiaries has a loan for $20 million, and at the point in time in February 22 when the loan was taken out, mining machines were much more expensive than they are today, so the leverage worked quite well. They had sufficient leverage with the miners in place on the site, but with mining machines dropping now to sort of $15 a terahash, that leverage is now worth $5 million. So Bitfarms put out an update in early January to say, we're going to have discussions with BlockFi to see if we can come up with a better package based on the current economic climate. And if those discussions can go ahead and all well and good, if they can't, then it's going to be a challenge to meet the payments. And therefore, they'll default on the payments, and like Iris Energy did with NYDIG, you know, there'll be a case of BlockFi taking over, I think, some like 600 petahash of miners at the site, at one of the sites. So one of the sort of 9 or 10 sites that Bitfarms have will stop being operational. But from a positive note from Bitcoin's side, it takes off $20 million off the balance sheet in debt for the sake of $5 million. Dollars worth of miners.
Let's go back to Bitfarms in a second. I want to ask about dilution a little bit more, because this is a pretty important subject, which I think is overlooked. And that's one thing I think I should do better in this podcast, honestly, when I have some of these executives on, is talk more about the dilution rule, because oftentimes on Bitcoin Twitter or in forums, we only talk about selling Bitcoin or we talk about debt. We don't really talk about dilution too much. And I don't know quite why that is. There doesn't seem to be a conversation around it, but it is important, right? I think part of the answer is because mining equities are so new as an instrument, and a lot of people within crypto are still understanding the role of equity within building a public company in Bitcoin or in crypto. So we're still sort of figuring out, is it okay? Is it not okay? When should it be used appropriately? And to your point, CleanSpark was a dominant miner in 2022. We expect the same in 2023, but they did dilute their shareholders quite a bit. And so did quite a few other miners during the bull run. What's your take on dilution going into 2023? Do you see other miners using that lever, so to speak, in order to grow? Or do you think that dilution play is really done for the moment?
No, it's not done by a long street. We're already seeing miners. A lot of the miners have already got in place within their SEC updates the ability to sell more shares back to at the market prices. So, Riot had a significant ATM in place, and it was approved at their shareholders meeting. Bitfarms, I think early 2022 had a 500 million ATM in place. So not to sell in one go, but the opportunity to sell over a period of time. CleanSpark want to put to their shareholders imminently a proposal which will give them the opportunity, I think, for I think it's $500 million of shares through an ATM. Absolutely not. I think you're going to see more dilution because I think the debt markets, there's two reasons. But until we see the full economic recovery and interest rates starting to come down, we're still seeing interest rates rise at the moment, especially on this side of the water. And I think even in the US, not seeing interest rates drop at the moment. Interest rates are high now because he's trying to combat the inflation issues that's globally at the moment. And so we see that come down, interest rates will stay high. And that means that if you want to borrow money, you're going to be paying more than you were 12 months ago. So those rates that were, when they started to come down a year ago, and we were seeing miners paying, you know, single digit interest rates of say, you know, 8, 9, 10%, whereas previously they were paying 18, 19, 20%. We're not going to see those 8, 9, and 10% in 2023 until we see market recovery and the interest rates coming down, and the bank interest rates coming down, which will then, you know, make the commercial rates a little bit more attractive. So dilution is absolutely one of the levers available for each of the mining companies to use, and they'll all be at some point in time using that lever. The other option is obviously Bitcoin, and we've seen all the miners apart from Hut and Marathon Digital going to their HODL and sell significant amounts in 2022. And that's not going to change as well. We know Iris Energy sell every month, and that was their strategy. Sell the Bitcoin each month, grow, and then when they get to a growth position, they'll be able to produce more Bitcoin. And you know, they've benefited in 2022 from that strategy because we've seen the price come down. So they've had a good average revenue coming through over that period. Whereas you look at those miners that were in trouble, so Argo and Bitfarms were in trouble with the debt, and Greenwich were having to sell lots of Bitcoin just at the wrong prices, just to sort of, you know, get out of real trouble. And even two of those miners have bought Bitcoin in sort of January 2022 when the price was $40,000, you know, a coin, having then to sell it months later for less than half that amount in price. So, I think, you know, in answer to your question, dilution will definitely be a lever for 2023. It's the only way these miners will be able to grow significantly.
I love how you analyze that, because I think it's important to know that the selling of Bitcoin and just holding Bitcoin on your balance sheet, and then also using debt, those are two very tied together. Those two elements are tied together by macro forces, right? So like, the cost of interest rates going up is a macro environment, and then the cost of Bitcoin and what price you're going to sell it at is also tied to macro as well. So dilution seems to be the only thing that's slightly different, right? Where you can dilute your customers and they're going to probably be upset, but at least you have like a little bit more strength there than necessarily the other two. Let's go back to the Bitfarms conversation and talk about that. I think there's a few other miners that are in that category or bucket, which we definitely just need to talk about for a little bit. And that's this debt issue. So Core Scientific obviously filed Chapter 11, and they are right now figuring out what that looks like. They're still mining Bitcoin, but there's over, I think it's around $1 billion in liabilities that they're sorting through right now. And we have Bitfarms with its liabilities to NYDIG. Iris Energy obviously defaulted on that loan obligation through its SPV. So they're okay from a business standpoint since it was a separate entity, but necessarily was sort of a black mark on their look against, you know, other creditors in the space.
100%.
I wonder, and there's maybe a few other miners. I guess Argo is still technically in that bucket because they do have a loan out with Galaxy Digital now, but they seem to be more or less sorted. I'm curious about the debt position going into this next year. What's your thoughts looking at these different miners? What's going to happen with them?
I think we've already articulated, you know, the Bitfarms have reduced their debt significantly. And if you look at the market capitalizations of these companies, there is a sort of a correlation between the fact that those miners with less debt and the ability. So if you look at balance sheets, Hut 8 have had a strong balance sheet the last few years. You know, they've huddled everything. They have diluted the shares, but they've got very little debt on the balance sheet. They've got quite a lot of assets on the balance sheet. So their ability to meet their, you know, their current liabilities, they do that, you know, pretty much within their gift. You know, it's they're not having to repay the level some of the other miners are paying. Riot Blockchain, again, another, they're a bigger miner and they've got, you know, very little debt on their balance sheet. So again, it's using that, you know, opportunity to, you know, to grow with them through dilution. And they're doing it steady. You know, they've a lot of work's been done on the new site. I've been watching the updates that have been coming out. They're putting a lot of updates about the new site on YouTube. And, you know, it's starting to take shape just in the same way, you know, a year ago we were having the same conversations with Helios when that started to take shape. And these sites got, you know, really quickly. You know, once the foundations are in there, they're built, the structures are built quite quickly. So, you know, we'll see part of Corsi Carna going up in the, you know, in this next 6 months now. And, you know, by the end of the year, they'll have probably, I think they're planning to have 40% of that site completed and energized. So that's another 400 megawatts of power on top of the 700 megawatts they've got at Windstone. So that's over a gigawatt of power energized. And that will put them, you know, up there as sort of like, you know, if not the top, very close to the top of the tree from a mining perspective. It's going to be interesting watching what's going to happen over these next few months. We were going to rely on the Bitcoin price. Everything rolls around Bitcoin price for these miners. But if the Bitcoin price goes up and share prices go up, that will give these companies opportunities to dilute at a more reasonable price. I mean, you know, half the miners in December were receiving notifications from the NASDAQ that they weren't meeting the requirements from a share price perspective. So you had even the big miners. So Bitfarms, their share price went below $1. Hut 8's share price went below $1. Argo's went below $1 for so many days that they were actually, you know, they were told by NASDAQ they had to meet the requirements by having their share price continually over $1 for 10 days. And thankfully, the run in January, they've already achieved that. So they only got notified in December. But in January, they already successfully achieved their 10 days above $1. So that they've met that condition of the NASDAQ. That's good. Bitfarms price has gone above $1, but it is only literally, you know, 20 cents above $1. So Hut 8's price is about $2 a share now. So that's sort of got them, given a bit of a breathing space. But that's an issue for some of these miners. We've still got the likes of DigiHost, their share price has done well, but they have quite a few days. They had a notification for the NASDAQ. Their share price is over $1 at the moment, but it's keeping it above $1. And we don't know when the Bitcoin price is going to go, you know, next week of mine.
Yeah, it might be a good time to talk about the likes of BitDigital and a few of these other miners. According to the update, which we'll link in today's show notes, and this is yours from last month, a few of these smaller miners are actually doing really well. They're coming out of this bear market, adding more hash rate. They're scooping up cheap ASICs and doing quite well. So I think BitDigital is definitely one of them. I think you listed as the fifth miner on your mining update. Yeah. DMG is there, and then one other that we don't have an update for yet, but likely will have this coming month, is Cypher Mining, which has also sort of come out of the woodwork as like a smaller miner that has set up shop in Texas, has been purchasing ASICs for cheap. We look forward to updates from them, adding to your monthly update. But tell me a little bit about these smaller miners. They don't have a lot of hash rate online yet, but they're growing steadily during a bear market.
Well, we've seen DMG were very, I mean, only one, if we look at the miners in my table, only one miner actually reached its strategic level for 2022. So, you know, its forecast growth level, and that was CleanSpark. But if we're looking at miners that were close, DMG were really close to achieving their target of 1 exahash. So they got to like 945 petahash. So they were quite close. They're only, you know, 55 petahash away. And that was due to a delayed delivery. So we're expecting, hopefully in January, for them to reach that. That's a big target for them. And they are one of the smaller miners. They did in November and December finish top of the production charts. So, you know, getting the most out of their available hash rate. So they picked the likes of Bitfarms and Ivory predominantly for 12 months, along with Iris Energy and CleanSpark being the four, you know, miners, you know, holding those top four positions literally every month. But DMG last 2 months have had two great months, and you know, whether they continue that, we'll see. DigiHost had some good news in December with regards to New York and getting more approvals to get the site up and running there, which will provide a significant amount of exahash. What I don't understand at the moment, I probably need to arrange a call with Michelle to get to the bottom, is it's all right having the exahash, but where the miners coming from, because I'm not seeing any sort of big purchase of miners. We're talking a significant amount of exahash available. I think at the moment they've got 650 petahash, but they're looking for New York to increase that to like 2 exahash, and even to a sort of a miner like CleanSpark or Bitfarms, who tend to grow, you know, quite quickly, that's still a lot of capital involved to get 1.3 exahash of miners. And you know, like their market cap at the moment is about $30 million. You know, for 1.3 of exahash, well, that's $20 million of miners. So we just need to understand, it's all right having the sites with potential, but how are you going to fill those sites with miners? Unless they're going to go down the hosting route. So it's not 100% clear what their strategy is going forward. But the good news was is a New York site. They've confirmed that the approvals went through. There is an issue with regards to using the type of energy there. There's been some, I think there's been a lawsuit, not against DigiHost, but against New York as to why it's been approved for them to have a Bitcoin miner operate in that jurisdiction with regards to the amounts of carbon that's going to be released and the type of energy they're using. But from DigiHost's perspective, they're quite positive. Their update for December was very positive. They had a reasonably good month again. They're like DMG, both companies don't have any debt on the balance sheet, which is a positive thing. They are literally using an element of their mined Bitcoin to pay for their monthly costs. So again, they're living within their means. They're not having to go out there and, you know, create. And the Bitcoin increase in price in the last 3 weeks will help both of those companies by maybe hodling a little bit more Bitcoin each month going forward. So if they're only like, they were spending 80% of their Bitcoin, that number will drop down if they're having to meet the same amount of costs. So BitDigital had a good month. We already covered the fact that they were fifth in the table. I had a message from their chief strategy officer, and I questioned the fact that, you know, in the update, I'm only showing literally a third of their actual hash rate. So they're looking to go out. At the moment, I think it's like 35% of their hash rate's operational. And the remaining 65% are looking to come online. But they're also looking at the fact that it will come online when it's economically viable to do so. They don't want to rush out there and just switch everything on if the energy prices are going to be too expensive to mine Bitcoin. So they're looking at it really from a what's it going to cost us to switch on? And if it's within our costs, then they'll be able to gradually get it. But the plan is to get 100%. Absolutely.
Gotcha. So let's end the conversation with two questions. One, forward-looking statements, as much as we can on the show, just based on the public filings we have right now, the information that they've released from the teams. What are some trends or strong miners you're looking at for 2023? And then the last question I'll get to in a second, but just want to get a hash rate prediction from you.
I think we're going to see much of the same. There is sort of a gap appearing between those stronger miners. And when we're looking at stronger miners, we are looking at the ones with the stronger balance sheets who are able to move on any opportunities very quickly. So we really want to see, Hut 8 increase their hash rate, resolve the issues they've got with one of their sites in Ontario, and get that back up and running. I think that's about a third of their operational hash rates down at the moment because they've got a dispute with regards to energy prices. Well, they're in a very strong position. They've got probably close to $200 million available in liquidated and cash to go out and increase their hash rate. They haven't done it as expected in 2022, but 2023, with the current prices now, you'd expect them to start utilizing some of that to build their hash rate up. Bitfarms, strong in 2022, and I see them getting stronger. They've reduced their debt and put themselves into a much, much better position going forward. CleanSpark, they forecast a very challenging hash rate by the end of the year of 16 exahash. And before, it was about a few months ago, it was up to 20 exahash, but they've reduced that to 16. So they're at 6.2 at the moment. That's another 10 exahash this year. They increased by 4 exahash in 2022. So that's 150% more than what they did in 2022. So that's going to be interesting because they haven't got the cash available. So for them, it will be it will be dilution, or it will be going to the debt markets if that becomes an opportunity. But as they've already applied for a $500 million ATM, which needs approval from the shareholders, that's probably the way that they're looking at this. They've diluted quite a lot in 2022. That will continue, but you've got to grow in this space. You need to grow through these bear markets now, get readiness for when things pick up. And we are seeing a lot more miners go join the global hash rate. We were seeing it stall towards the end of 2022, but actually it looks like it's picked up again, and difficulty went up in January. And I'm hearing from Asia, I'm in touch with a couple of miners in Kazakhstan, that they're switching on now over there. So, with Bitcoin price increasing, it's going to start becoming a little bit more profitable. So more miners will join the network. And obviously that will bring difficulty, and mining will have to grow just to keep up. So it's going to be a challenge. But I think that if you look at the likes of Riot, look at the likes of Mara, look at the likes of Butt, Bitfarms, Hive Blockchain, got very little debt on their balance sheet. They're not getting the revenues from the Ethereum that they were getting last year. And from a revenue perspective, I think Hive actually got more revenue than all the mining companies. So they'll need to replace that revenue. And they spent 2022 increasing their Bitcoin mining hash rate, and that they plan to continue to do that. But it's going to, it's a case of how they do that. They've got still got about 2,500 Bitcoin on the balance sheet. They've got some cash as well. They've got a new CEO, so Aiden, and the chief operating officer took over as CEO earlier this month. He's been in the role for 18 months as CEO, and effectively he was put in that role there to prove himself in readiness to take over from Frank and become CEO, and that was announced just over a week ago. So that's a good sign for Hive. He's been heavily involved in all the strategy that they've been going through over the last 18 months, and they're in a good position. So Miners that will still find it challenging in 2023, Argo is certainly not out of the woods. Core Scientific in Chapter 11 doesn't mean it's the end of Core Scientific. They're still producing monster amounts of Bitcoin on a daily basis, I think in excess of 50 Bitcoin on a daily basis. Still apparently switching on more miners. So Chapter 11, it's about looking at how we can reorganize, is an opportunity to reorganize, debt. It really depends how those discussions go. But they, they're just a massive miner. If you look at the fact that DigiHost mined 50 Bitcoin during the month of December, and Core Scientific are going to do that on a daily basis. So, it's
they're huge.
But if we look at the market capitalization, DigiHost is $31 million and Core Scientific is $34 million. DigiHost is sort of on a par with Core Scientific from a valuation, but delivering about 3% of the amount of Bitcoin on a daily basis. So,
debt can do that to you.
Debt can do that. And we said all along that no one's too big to fall.
Mm.
And Core Scientific, effectively being the biggest miner for the last 12, 18 months, did fall.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Last question for you. End of year projection for hash rate. So December 31st, 2023, what do you think the network hash rate is at? So far, we've gotten guesses around 350 exahash, and currently we're around 260, 270, depending on the day.
Yeah, I think I revised mine. I think it was 275 for 2020. So I'm probably going to say 325 to 350 is probably sensible. But, the cycles just we're not quite ready for the bull market yet. So, although we only have four, this is our fourth cycle, it's not a massive amount of historic data to look at. But it's been very cyclical in those cycles. So it'll all depend on two factors. It'll be on Bitcoin price and energy prices. If it's profitable to mine, you'll get more miners switching on, making the difficulty harder, so there'll be higher global hash rate. But if Bitcoin drops again, and as I say, it won't, we'll see the hash rate come down because more miners will be switching off. The miners, if you get the likes of Mara, who was switching off on a daily basis just to avoid high spot prices, this is a sort of strategies that some of these miners, or most of these miners that haven't got fixed prices in place, that's what they're going to have to consider more and more of. And we're seeing, even though the difficulty dropped in December compared to November, we saw most of the miners have lower daily output. So that says, miners were having to switch off. And yes, the weather was responsible for some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the miners in the US were switched off because of energy prices.
I think it's a pretty fair estimation. I remember last year, this time, we did the same thing. We did a guess for end of year hash rate. And the most bullish were saying 350 by the end of 2022. We ended around 270, 250, depending on which measurement you're going to use. But I think 325 to 350 is about where most people are placing it. Anthony, I want to thank you for joining the Mining Pod. We will see you again next month. And for everyone who is listening, be sure to check out Mining Memo, our newsletter, which Anthony publishes his monthly updates on miners. And he also publishes a few different pieces on miner analysis, which are always great to read. Thank you again, Anthony.
Thanks. Thank you.